yard signs. I'm for them. I use them. I like them. I love them. I've ordered them. I use them all the time. I recommend them all the time. Thank God for a yard sign. The beauty with the magnetic scripture sign is when you put them on your car, that places a Christian right with the Word of God. Everywhere that sign goes on, because that car ain't leaving without you. Is that right? Amen. Has I got that thing right? That car don't leave without you. Wherever that car goes, you go. And then if you see somebody in the gas station, it's an opportunity to witness to them for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see somebody looking at that thing at the gas station, and you might just say, hey, what do you think about that? Just open up the door for a witness. And it could be that they don't go to church anywhere or a good church, and it opens up the door to a witness and bring someone maybe already saved to your church in this community. So there's many, many different ways. It helps people. It strengthens Christians to see other people that are bold, that are willing to put the Bible in their car, and it'll help them that way. Back there, we gave them away for over 20 years. Right now, we have to put them out at cost. That's not how we support the work. It's not how we make money at it. I'm not in it for that. If I wanted to make money at it, I'd just print every other Bible version. That's all I'd have to do, but I won't do that. I'll print one Bible, the King James Bible. That's all I'll ever print. I've been asked to do it, won't do it. So I'm not going to go down that road, but what the cost is on them back there is what it cost us to make them. And if you want them, once we leave here and you order from us through the email or through phone or through the post office box, I have this thing on 24/7, my cell phone here. I'll get up in the middle of the night, take your order, and mail it out to you. Normally within 2 or 3 days, you'll get it. No shipping, no handling, none of that. We cover all that cost. What's on them is bare bones what they cost us to make. I was at a Holiday Inn Express this morning, and there was a black lady there, and she had a magnetic sign on her car, I noticed, and it had a Bible verse sign. I thought, glory to God, there's a magnetic sign that I didn't make, somebody made. I walked up to her, and here's the magnet man, the sign man, and I said, hey, I like your magnetic sign on your car. She said, yeah, I had that made. She said, and it was 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, you know that good verse there in 1 John. And I said, by the way, what did you, if I could ask you, what did you have to give for that sign? She said, oh, it was just under $50 for two signs. And I thought to myself, wow. I said, ma'am, I got a sign that same size that I can get you for about $7 each. So it doesn't cost $49 to make two signs that big. But if you pick up the phone book and you're looking to have a sign made, that's the average of what they're going to charge you, at least $50. I've had them quoted up to over $100 for two. It can get quite expensive. Bare bones is what we got on it. It's the least we can get them out for. And while we're on deputation, at least while we're raising support for the work, I've not always been on deputation. Matter of fact, we're not going to be on deputation for 4 or 5 years, I trust. I don't want to be that kind of a missionary, I trust. I'm getting too old, amen, to be on deputation. I'm knocking on the door of 50, me and my wife, and I found out that deputation is not really a fun road to go down. One older brother, he said it's the desert of deputation, he called it. So it's a little dry and rough out there on the road. But the wonderful thing about the work we have is when we go and we take the magnetic scripture signs with us, which we have over 300 of them back here on these tables, people take them. I could bring that many on that table right back there, just a handful of them, say, there's a sample of them, order them, we'll mail them to them, and we do that. But how can I leave all these scripture signs at home when I know some of you are going to go back there, and you're going to take two or three or one and put them on your car, and if 4 or 5 or 6 of you do it, and then they're out into the lost world tomorrow, you know how many lost people are going to read those scripture signs? Possibly hundreds of thousands of them just this coming week. So I can't bring myself just to leave them at home just because we're on deputation presenting the work. So we have determined our heart to take the Word of God with us and put them out there at cost. And I trust God will speak to your heart. And you'll take a good look at that display. And then God will bless you for it, I'm sure. Back there, and even a couple out there, we have a little flyer like this in a box. There's several boxes out there. This is care instructions. This tells you how to care for your magnetic sign and your vehicle. So if you're concerned about your car, that they might hurt your car, well, they won't hurt your car. I got a care instruction. That shot down that excuse if you're worried about that. See, what I try and do, I cut down every excuse for anybody that just thinking they may not want to put one on their car. Put one on for Jesus Christ. How about that? Amen. Crucify your flesh. Tell your flesh to hush. And then stick out your neck for Jesus Christ. That's what you ought to do. Amen. Don't be a chicken your whole life. Amen. Do something for Jesus. While we're at it, the sister said he might step on our toes. I planned on crushing him sooner or later. Amen. There's our prayer card. Get a prayer card out back there. Put it, one preacher said, put it somewhere where you go the most. Either put it on your Bible, better yet, put it on the refrigerator. That's where most Baptists go the most, on the refrigerator. So you'll be in a refrigerator 4, 5, 6, some of them 8 and 10 times a day. So put that prayer card on your refrigerator. Remember to pray for us. And that'll help us, and it'll bless you to pray for us. So we thank God for you. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 14. Let's read a couple passages there. And we'll get into this, just a few passages here, and then I am going to give you, like I said, my personal testimony. I know you're wanting to hear it, and I've been waiting for that for several months now, but I trust something that's said tonight will be a help and a blessing to your heart, and you'll know when we leave where this ministry has come from, where it's at, and where it's going. Luke chapter 14, let's look at verse 17. Jesus said this, and sent his servants, I'll just jump right into the middle of this parable here and start reading. Luke chapter 14, verse 17. I think that's right, yeah. And sent his servants at supper time, that's the last meal of the day, to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Look at verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly, notice it, into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out, didn't say stay in, didn't say just stay in the church house, said go out unto the what? The highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. The Lord Jesus Christ here gives a command and a talk down through here of this parable, and he speaks to the servant, which is a picture, of course, of you and me, and he says to that servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And my challenge to you tonight is, when's the last time you've gone out into the highway and compelled them to come in? I mean, it's our job. The Lord Jesus Christ back there in Mark chapter 1 and Mark chapter 7, I think it is, with the leper and the deaf-mute man there, he said, don't tell anybody what I've done. The Lord back there said, don't tell anybody. You know what they did? They went out, and the Bible says they blazed abroad the matter. They went out and told everybody. Now Jesus says, go out and tell everybody, and it just seems like the church don't tell anybody anymore about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why in the world, this world, our Christian world, would shut up about Jesus Christ? It's beyond me for what he's done for you in this life. That bothers me real bad. The Bible says in Luke chapter 21 and verse 33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The emphasis God puts in the Word of God is heavy all throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament. The Bible says this in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. That's what the seed is. The sower soweth the seed. The Bible says the entrance of thy words giveth light. What goes into your eyes, it gives light. It gives understanding to the simple, the Bible says. And not only that, it says the light of the body is the eye. You know what it is with the lost man? The light of the body is the eye. The sower soweth the seed. The seed is the Word of God right here, these magnetic scriptures. That is not just a novelty. They're not just a trinket. It's just not a fad that you're going to get into. It is a pure, undefiled, living Word of God. If you've got a King James Bible, it is a pure Word of God. And that's what God said to do. Take that pure Word that God doth talk with man, the Bible says, and put that seed out in front of the lost world so that they might have the light that goes into their eye might understand, they might get convicted. And the Bible says, it's mine eye affecteth my heart. That's what the Bible says. What goes in here does affect your heart. So if you put something filthy in there, it's going to affect your heart. If you put something dirty in there, it's going to affect your heart. If you put something clean in there, it's going to affect your heart. Right. Amen. And I wonder this, if you pull up behind somebody that's got something dirty on their car, a dirty, filthy bumper sticker, you know what you're going to do? Everybody in America is going to do it. If you pull up behind somebody that's got one of those dirty bumper stickers on, you know what you're going to do? Saved or lost. You know what you're going to do? You are going to read that sign whether you like it or not. You will. It's a promise you're going to read that sign. If that's true, if you put the Bible in your car, you must be born again on the back of your car there. You know what I know is the same promise? You're going to read that sign. I don't care if you're an atheist, if you're Catholic, if you're a charismatic, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, if you're a Church of Christ, you are going to read that sign. It's a promise. And then that seed goes down into the heart of that man And God begins to try to speak to that man. If he'll receive the word of God. That's what the Bible does, says. The Bible says, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words. Me and my words. Are you ashamed of his words? Say, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Are you ashamed of his words? Would you be willing to take those same words and put them on your car? Put them out into the world. Put them out there so where the lost people can see them. Have some boldness. Have some courage. I said, Brother Schlechte, I thought you was going to give me your testimony. I'm trying to get to that. I'm kind of struggling with that. I was raised United Methodist. I hope I haven't made you mad already. Amen. I was raised United Methodist. My whole life I was raised United Methodist. I was raised in a traditional American home. I was taken to a traditional United Methodist church, the Frozen Chosen. I mean, I'll tell you what, I got no preaching, no singing, dead, dried from 11 to 12 o'clock. I sat there my whole youth and got nothing from the Bible. My whole youth, I didn't even know the word saved was in the Bible. Didn't know it was in there. There I was, traditional mom and dad, two older mean sisters, amen. I mean, they were mean as the devil. They're about still mean, amen. But they were the kind of sisters that would pick on the younger brother. Say, why do you think they're so mean? I'm fixing to tell you. They were the kind that would hide in my room at nighttime, and I'd be going to bed in my bunk bed there. The girls had one room. Stevie had another room, and they'd hide underneath my bed. And as I stepped into bed, they'd grab my ankles, amen. That's mean. I don't care what anybody says. That's cruel. That's not right. That's just abuse, amen. That's not right. That'll twist your mind. Amen. You'll find out why I'm like I am just here in a little bit. But that's my mean older sister. They would hide in the closet and they'd bang in the doors in the middle of the night, not knowing they're in there, just thinking there's a bear in there or something, scare me to death. I'm afraid of the dark to this day. Thank God for conceal and carry. Hallelujah. I like conceal and carry license. Amen. It makes me feel a whole lot better at nighttime. Amen. Yeah. That's America. My mom and dad, they stuck together. They're still together to this day. My dad's lost. My mom is saved. My sisters are lost. And I was raised that way. Just a little lost, traditional American home. My dad put a baseball bat in my hand at 4 years old. And from 4 years old to about 19 years old, I was determined to play for the Cincinnati Reds and then play professional baseball. All my heart, I wanted to play professional baseball. I could throw a ball 90 miles an hour when I was older. I could hit the 585 in my teenage years. I could throw 3-1 hitters. I mean, I'll tell you what, I could play baseball. And they said you'd probably make it, but God had other plans for my life. And in that traditional American home, we'd sit around the table, and I'd sit there with Grandma and Grandpa would come over with my mom and dad, and they'd sit around there and just little Stevie about that high, and I'd sit there and watch them play cards. They'd throw the euchre cards around the table. They'd throw the 500 rummy around the table. They'd play a little poker, amen, bunch of lost people sitting around. My grandma would drink beer and smoke cigarettes there in the house, and that was how I was raised. And my dad said one time, he said, son, someday you'll probably drink. So if you're going to drink, you ought to drink at home. He took a shot glass of liquor and sat it down there on the table. He said, son, a double shot glass. He said, you drink right here. If you're going to drink, you ought to drink at home. I was about 12 or 14 years old, so I took that shot glass. And I didn't know no better. I didn't know if it was Wild Turkey or a Canadian Club or some one of those hellish drinks. I took that thing and I chugged that thing down like that and about burned my throat out. I thought I was going to die. Fire shooting out of my mouth. I thought, man, this is an awful trick to pull on a young 12 or 14-year-old boy. Bad trick. And I thought to myself, I'll never do that. But don't you know, my life went spiraling downhill in my teenage years. I closed up within myself. My dad, he's a shy man, really, by nature. Our boy, he's a shy young man by nature. By nature, I'm very shy, very quiet, very backwards. Never! Very loud, boisterous person. Never been that way. Yeah! Imagine that! I'm not real good with fellowship. I love to fellowship, but I'll tell you what, I'm just kind of shy, and I'm kind of like a social introvert. I love fellowship with the brethren, but I'm just, you know, how God would call me to do something like this is far beyond me. He's chosen the foolish things of the world, confound the wise, the weak things of the world. That's what God chooses to you, the foolishness of preaching. God chooses something weak. My life was going downhill like a rocket through my teenage years. And I got to about 19 years old, and somebody said, I got out of high school, got a job. In engineering, Cincinnati Millicron, I started working that job, and somebody said I had the American dream. It seemed like everything was going well, humanly speaking. But you know what? Inside my heart, I knew there was something desperately wrong with me. I was drinking, I was doing drugs, I was living a terrible life, I was cussing like a sailor, I was just living an awful life. And I knew there's one thing I wouldn't do was take the Lord's name in vain. I never did that even as a lost man. Wouldn't take the Lord's name in vain. But I knew there was something bad wrong with my relationship with God. And I thought to myself, I said, if this is all there is to life, I don't want it. My father had given me a revolver when I was young, and I had that revolver in my home. I had a home at a young age, and I took that gun, and I said, today is the last day of my life. 3 weeks before that, I had been to a fair, and someone was at a fair with a little booth set up, and they had these little red Bibles. Preacher, you've probably seen them. They're just little red Bibles. They just got, Brother Tom, you've seen those little red Bibles. They're just about that big, and this is all Scripture. There's no commentary, this little red Bible, and somebody's passing out those little red Bibles. Never said a word to me. I snatched one of those things up, stuck it in my back pocket, went home and read it, cover to cover. But this day came in my life when I was ready to take my life, and I put that gun to my head, and I thought to myself, God, I can't take it anymore. I'm just living terrible. I hate life. And the thought came to my head immediately. Said, if you pull that trigger, you're going to hell. And buddy, I'll tell you what, I sobered up. I thought to myself, man, I don't want to go to hell. I said, if there's any chance of me going to a hell where people burn, I said, I don't want that. And another thought came to my mind, said, go ahead and pull that trigger. It's going to be all right. Just get it over with quick. Pull that trigger real quick. It's all going to be better if you just pull the trigger real quick. And I thought, man, I'll just get it over with quick. Then a thought came to my mind again and said, if you pull that trigger, you are going to hell when you die. I mean, I'll tell you what, that sobered me up. My soul sobered up. I thought to myself, oh, God, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to burn. If I'm going to blow myself to hell, God, there's got to be a way out of this. And I fell down on my, I put that gun down. Thank God he gave me enough sense to put that gun down. I fell down on my knees like this. And then before I know it, I'm laying out flat on the floor like that. And I'm just praying. I'm saying, God, I know my sins have separated me and you. And I said, Lord, now I know I'm a wretched, wicked, ungodly sinner. I said, God, if anybody deserves to die and go to hell, it's me. I said, God, I've done enough to put me in hell. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do with myself. I said, God, I don't know how to make things right with you. But the thought of somehow miraculously, the thought of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, came into my mind, and I thought of the cross of Calvary, how Jesus died for sinners, the two thieves there. I could picture it in my little mind, my little vain, lost mind. I sat there and I thought about the cross of Calvary. And I said to myself, God, if I just take and put all my trust in Jesus Christ, I said, God, I'm going to trust Jesus tonight with all my sins. I said, it seems like he died for me on the cross of Calvary. I said, God, if Jesus can't get me to heaven, I'll just have to die and go to hell. So I asked Jesus to save me and forgive me that day. And I got saved, but I didn't know it. Say, how didn't you know it? I just didn't know it. Nobody ever told me the word saved was in the Bible. But I prayed that little simple prayer one day in my life, and I remember that day to this day. Well, I sat up on the side of my bed. I got up there and I thought to myself, whew, man, I never prayed like that. Never United Methodist my whole life. I didn't pray. And I thought to myself, man, I feel better. I thought, I feel like I did the right thing. My whole life living like a devil, I mean, a horrible teenage life. I thought, man, I feel clean all of a sudden. I said, I think I'm going to read the Bible. I think I'm just going to get me a Bible and start reading the Bible. Imagine that. First thought, after I get saved, the first thought that came to my head was, I need to read the Bible. I said, I'm going to get me a Bible. Had money in the bank, had seemed like humanly speaking, everything's going just fine. I went down to that bookstore down there and I said, ma'am, give me the latest and greatest Bible you got. She said, okay, here you go. Had a big old NIV. I thought, glory to God, New International Version, what everybody's reading. I didn't know one Bible from now. Didn't even know there was a Bible issue. I put that thing in my arm, headed home, started reading the Bible. What I thought was a Bible. I start flipping through that thing. I'm reading that thing. I said, man, I just can't get nothing from this thing. Seemed weird. I didn't know nothing about nothing. I knew no Dr. Doodle. I didn't know nothing. I put that thing aside. I said, well, Bibles are a dime a dozen. I was a little hippie punk kid now, remember at this time. Just come out of the United Methodist Church. Didn't know nothing about nothing. I go back down to that bookstore. I said, give me a Bible. It's a little more alive than that last one you gave me. All kinds of Bibles in there. Just give me another one. She handed me another Bible. It said, the Living Bible. I went from one bad Bible, amen, to one very awfully worse Bible, amen. I'm sitting there working on my tire of my car, trying to read that Bible and change that tire, work on that thing. I said, man, that thing just don't seem right. Something not right about this Bible she gave me. Well, I thought that thing's about useless. I'll just use it as a tire chuck, so I stuck underneath my tire. Thought to myself, you know what I think I'll do? I think I'm just going to go back. And what United Methodist Church did one thing good in my life, at 10 or 12 years old, I think it was, they gave me an orange. And they gave me a King James Bible. Well, I never read that Bible, and the orange was long gone, but that Bible was still sitting on the shelf. I grabbed that Bible off the shelf. I thought, man, I'm just going to read that old Bible sitting up there. I flipped that old thing open, and lo and behold, I flipped that thing open to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you've been reading your Bible, you know what's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I got to reading down through there. It says, but if I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, but concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain shall be unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. I thought, man, I understand. It looks like Jesus might be coming back someday. Never heard about the second coming. Never heard about the rapture. I didn't know the word dispensation was in the Bible. I didn't know rightly dividing was in the Bible. And I said, looks like Jesus is going to come back someday. I thought to myself, wow, it says, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then it said, then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. I thought, man, to meet the Lord in the air. I thought, then it said, so shall we ever be with the Lord. I thought, man, that's a wild trip in the Bible. I've never seen anything like that before. I thought to myself, man, I've been on every ride at Kings Island. I've been on every ride at Cedar Point, all the amusement parks. I used to like those crazy rides. They give me a headache and the problem, they about make me want to throw up now, amen. But I used to like those rides. And I thought to myself, man, that's going to be a trip right there, man. No mechanical device. Someday I'm just going to be elevated according to that verse right there. I'm going to be lifted up and boom, right up through the clouds. I'm going to meet Jesus Christ himself in the air in the clouds. I thought, that's going to be a good time right there. I'm going to enjoy that. I thought, hallelujah, it's free. Didn't you have to pay to get in? I said, man, somebody done paid the price. Amen. I found out later. I got in on it. I thought, glory to God, it's coming. I thought, man, I'm going to church. I want to go to church. I read my first thing I want to do, preacher, was read my Bible and go to church. And about that time, Holy Ghost knew what I wanted to do in my heart. Holy Ghost knew that I wanted to go to church. And lo and behold, my phone rings. And a fellow on the other end of the line says, hey, Steve, what are you doing this Sunday? I said, I don't know, man, just watching a football game. I still had a bad hippie punk, bad attitude. I said, I don't know, man, just watching a football game. He said, you want to go to church? I said, funny you should mention that. I've been thinking about going to church. Now, my mom, before I ever left home, she said this. She said, Steve, don't ever go to a charismatic church when you leave home. Don't ever go to Church of God. Don't ever go to no Assembly of God. Don't ever go to no Church of Christ. She couldn't approve nothing. She said, don't ever go to no Baptist church. She said, they all handle snakes. They all speak in tongues. Their eyes roll back in her head. And she said, don't ever go to those churches. So here's my buddy. He's on the phone. I said, yeah, man, I've been thinking about going to church. Funny you should go. I said, where are you going? He said, little Baptist church down here. Baptist church. I thought, uh-oh. My mom said, don't mess with that. And I thought to myself, you know, I can't listen to what my mom says anymore. I'm out of home now. I said, she's not going to tell me. I said, yeah, what time does it start? He said, 10 o'clock. I said, 10 o'clock is kind of early. It used to start at 11 o'clock in the United Methodist Church. I thought, 10 o'clock, all right, I'll be there. Mark me down. I'll be there. Well, 10 o'clock Sunday morning comes around, man. I drive down there. I got my jeans on, man, my T-shirt on, my hippie hair down to my shoulder. Here I come, just a wreck of a young man. Just got saved, didn't know it. Here I am going to church. Got my old King James Bible in my hand. I get down there, and I pull into this little church down there, 912 3rd Street, Dayton, Kentucky, and some little guy stands up. He starts teaching the Bible at 10 o'clock. Man, it all made sense, too. Never heard Bible taught like that before in my life. Yeah, 19 years, some devil in a big old long black robe gets up there and gives me communion and sprinkles my head with water at 12 years old, not having a clue what's going on. And this guy, first time, one shot, I understand what he's talking about. I thought, man, that's pretty good. I said, that old boy, he's pretty good. I thought, man, that's pretty good. 11 o'clock rolled around. I head out the door. They said, hey, where you going? I said, I'm going home to watch a football game. Where are you going? They said, no, man, there's another service. I said, what, another service? I said, what happens now? And he said, well, we got a preaching service. I said, what was that? I mean, that was more preaching. His teaching was more preaching than I ever heard in that Methodist church. Hey, man, it was more like preaching than I ever heard in my life. My whole life. And here I am thinking, I'm heading out the door, going home, watch football game. I said, well, how long does this next service start, take? He said, well, you know, we'll be out here around 12 o'clock. Liar, 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 house on fire. I tell you what, I sat through that service. I got there 11 o'clock. Man, I'll tell you what, they reared back and they started singing at little Baptist church. They started singing loud, kind of like you all did. Man, that just, man, it's just a little bit scary, amen. And they just sang, and I couldn't find much fault with that. They just seemed like they had some joy in their heart. And then that little fella gets up there. They get done singing, somebody testifies, and he flips that King James Bible open, and he starts preaching like a wild man. Nothing I've ever seen before in my life. He turns all red in the head. He's spitting three rows. He's pacing back and forth. I've never seen anything like that before in my life. I'm thinking about it. Then about that time, some guy cuts loose the back. He said, amen. I looked back at him. I thought, uh-oh, that's getting crazy. Then another guy said, glory to God. That's good preaching, brother. Amen. Preach on, preach on. And I'm looking around like a crazy man thinking, buddy, somebody's going to speak in tongues. My mom's right. Somebody's going to, if the snakes come out, I'm going out the back door. But I was ready to check out of that place. I was ready to get out of there quick. Bad attitude. I'll tell you what, you know, I sat through that thing and about 12:30 rolls around. Seemed like it went through in a flash. And I'm thinking to myself, man, that was pretty wild. But I couldn't really find no fault with it. Nobody spoke in tongues. Nobody, their eyes didn't roll back in their head. No snakes came out from the back house. And I thought to myself, you know, all they were doing, as far as I could tell, they were just identifying with what that man was saying up there. They agreed with what he said. I never heard anybody say amen before in my life. I head out the door thinking, whoo, that's a wild trip in there. Kind of fun. Closest thing to World Series I've ever been to. Closest thing to Super Bowl ever experienced all my life. I kind of liked it. I kind of liked that kind of thing. And I thought to myself, man, I might go back and check that out. And I head out the door, and there I said, that brother stopped me, and he said, hey, what you doing tonight? I said, watch another football game. If I can get home, watch the first one. He said, what are you doing? He said, you want to come back tonight? I said, what happens tonight? They said, we're gonna preach again. I said, what? Three times in one day, preach, preach, preach. I said, that's kind of cultish, isn't it? I thought to myself, this is crazy, man. Kind of scary a little bit, but I thought, man, that was so much fun being that first one. I thought, I'll go back just to try it again. I'll cut the football game short, go back and hear these wild, crazy people down here rejoicing in the Lord, whatever that was. I didn't know nothing about nothing, brother. I'll tell you what, I was green, buddy. I was green, but saved. I got to identify with that thing. I started liking it. And I got out that door on Sunday night. I said, I'll see you later. He said, what you doing Wednesday night? I said, I don't know, man. What are you doing Wednesday night? They said, we're having a little meeting down here. It's called a prayer meeting and Bible study. I said, you got to be kidding me. You all are coming back here in the middle of the week to have church? What happened to church from 10 to 11 on Sunday morning, 11 to 12? I said, well, we just, you know, like to pray and read the Bible. I said, well, I thought to myself, there's really nothing wrong with that. I couldn't really find fault with that. So I started going back. And I started going back. And I started going back. And that Bible started getting in me. And that Bible started teaching me some stuff. And that Bible, I started understanding the Bible. And that guy started preaching. And he started teaching me. He started understanding the Bible. I started getting that Bible into me. And the Word of Christ starts dwelling in my heart and cleaning me up a little bit. I thought to myself, I was going back down to that church house. Man, I got so cranked up. I started loving that sermon. I started enjoying that Bible-believing sermon. I said, man, I'll tell you what. I thought to myself down there, you know, I'm going to get kind of more plugged into this thing. They're all having such a good time during that preaching service. You know, driving down there to that church, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say amen today. I said, man, it was a premeditated amen that day. I thought about it all the way down there. I thought to myself that, man, I'm going to say amen. First time in my life, I'm going to say amen today. I said, if that guy says Jesus or the rapture, I'm saying amen. And then that guy got to preaching. It wasn't very long, amen. That guy started preaching again. He started telling people about Jesus. Once you're saved, you're always saved. And somebody said, glory to God, brother. Amen. I thought to myself, amen, that's right. I looked around like this, see if anybody's looking at me, because I was kind of embarrassed anyhow. And they're all doing the same thing. I fit in pretty good. I thought, man, this is kind of good. I kind of like this little church. I thought, man, I'm just going to. That guy said, man, he started teaching me the Bible. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And they came up to me, and then brothers came up to me, and they said, what are you doing Tuesday night? I said, Tuesday night? Tuesday night? I said, what goes on Tuesday night? They said, visitation. I said, oh, man, somebody die? I said, I've never heard that. I said, I'll get my suit. I said, what time is the funeral? I'll come to visitation. I didn't know nothing about no visitation. Never heard that word before in my life. United Methodist my whole life. Don't laugh too hard. I never heard that word before, just like the word saved. Didn't know nothing about no visitation. They said, no, we're going out knocking on doors to tell people about Jesus. I thought, man, that's probably the right thing to do. And that verse come up in my mind, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I thought, man, that's the right thing to do. I better do that. I'm going to get in on that. I said, what time is it? They said, 7 o'clock, come down here. I said, you got me. Unplug me. Count me down. And I'll tell you what, I started hanging around that crowd. About that time, I started looking around at them. They all had short hair. Well, I feel kind of funny about my hair down to here. my hair flipping around every time I said amen. I got to thinking I might want to get a haircut, amen. So I thought I better get a haircut. And then I got to thinking, man, this seemed like nobody's cussing around here either. I'm outside the church house cussing from time to time. This seemed like these angels around here, ain't nobody cussing. I better quit my cussing. So I quit my cussing. I was still having a few brews on the side, amen, from time to time. Still got a bowling alley league going on in my young Christian life. And I got down into that bowling alley, and that guy started preaching on Jesus was the water of life. He said, once you take a drink of him, you'll never thirst again. He said, you don't need the world's drink. You don't need that trash. I got down that bowling alley, and I had ordered me one of them little cans of beer there. I chugged that thing halfway down. I got to thinking, man, that's not the right thing to do. I said, I'm a Christian now. I'm saved, and I know I'm saved. And they had taught me some Bible there, and I put that beer on the backside of that pew. They all look like pews in the bowling alley. I mean, there's pews just like any other church house. But that's just where people go to worship, amen. And I put that beer down there, and I looked at that can of beer, and I remember it to this day. I said, I'm never touching you again. I don't need you. I've got Jesus Christ. I don't need nothing like that. You're defiled. You're wicked, ungodly. You turn the whole world upside down. People get drunk and die and go to hell because of you. I said, I'll never touch you again. I didn't touch a drink since then. I'm not touching that filthy drink. When I got the pure water of life, he satisfies. You know why they have to take another cigarette and smoke one more? Because one don't satisfy. You know why they got to have two beers? Because one don't satisfy. You know why they got to take two hits of dope? Because one don't satisfy. But I got one time I received Jesus Christ, and let me tell you, friend, he satisfied me. Amen. He satisfied me. I found I didn't need to get him twice. I got him once, and I got all I could handle. I got saved. I wanted to do everything. Everything I want to do. I just could get plugged into the local Bible-believing church. They said, what are you doing Saturday? I said, what's going on, fellas? What are we doing? They said, we're street preaching. I said, what's street preaching? They said, we're going to go out there and preach on the street. I said, really? You go out there and preach? I said, that's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? Well, somebody sees you. They said, John the Baptist preached. They said, Jeremiah preached. Jesus Christ preached on the street. They said, you scared? I said, no, I'm not scared. What are you talking about? I said, let's go. They said, let's get some tracks. I said, what's a track? I'm thinking deer track, raccoon track, rabbit track, elephant track. What kind of track are you talking about? Never heard that word before in my life. I'm telling you, I never heard that. They pulled out these little pieces of paper, and they said, it's a gospel track, and it tells people how they can be saved and born again. Don't you want to tell people how to be saved and born again? I said, I sure do. The preacher said, to him that knoweth the good and doeth it not, to him that is sin. I said, I sure don't want to sin against God. Yeah, man, let's get some of them tracks. I went up there to that fellowship track league, had 5,000 tracks, 2,001, had me a big old bunch of tracks. I said, let's go pass out tracks. I got cranked up on passing out tracks. I liked it, too. Made me feel good. I went back to that little church. They said, hey, Brother Schlechty, what's going on? I said, why do you call me brother? I said, that's a weird thing. I said, who's the father around here? Everybody calls everybody brother and sister and sister and brother. I said, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Never heard that before in my life. They said, no. You got it all wrong. He said, we're all one in Christ. We're all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Once you get Jesus Christ in your heart, you're a child of God. Therefore, that makes us all brothers and sisters in Christ. I thought, how about that? I'm Brother Schlechty. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. Man, I've been about that time I'm street preaching. I'm passing out tracks. I'm going downtown. I'm doing everything I can for Jesus Christ. I turned the world upside down for him. I've gone anywhere for him. I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, there was a day in my life, brethren, I'm telling you, there was a day in my life when I had no purpose, no reason to live. And when I got saved, I found out purpose. This old book, here's a purpose-driven life book right there. I read the purpose-driven life book. It's right here. That's all I needed for purpose in life. That old Bible said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I thought, man, I'll tell you what, I don't got to look like the world no more. I don't got to act like the world no more. I got set free in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 in my Christian life. I thought, man, I'm going to win this world somehow to Jesus Christ. I want to have a part in this thing.
I got me a big old stack of tracts like that. That preacher said the sower soweth the seed, and he went like that in the illustration. I put that big stack of tracts on top of my car. I went down to a Catholic neighborhood. I got me some Mary's Command for Catholics. I said, I'm going to win this whole Catholic neighborhood to Jesus Christ. I had a lot of zeal, very little wisdom and knowledge, amen, at that time. But I'll tell you what, I had a zeal. I wanted to win some souls to Jesus Christ and change their life like God changed my life. So I put them stack of tracts on top of my car, stepped on that gas, and down to that road I went. Them tracts went flying all over. I'm looking in the rearview mirror, they're going everywhere down that Catholic neighborhood. I did that for months until this car started following me with blue and red lights on top of his car. And that little rascal, I said, man, what's up? What's his issue? I said, why is that guy following me? And he pulled me over after several months of that. He said, son, what you doing? I said, I'm trying to win souls to Jesus Christ. Officer, what are you doing? He said, I'm fixing to give you a ticket if you don't quit littering. I said, oh. I said, that's probably a bad thing, isn't it? He said, yeah, that's a real bad thing. That's about a $500 fine. He said, if you don't quit it, we're going to ticket you. I said, okay, I'll quit it. That's easy enough. I get out of that ticket. I'd say, I probably told him he's got the best mom in the world to get out of the ticket. But I tell you what, I just didn't want to get no ticket. I got so stirred up for God. I just wanted to stay in church. I wanted to hang around the church people. Man, they started having revivals down there. That guy couldn't preach hard enough and long enough for me. I'll tell you what, I've been there till midnight. I would have sat up drinking with my buddies till 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, man, preach on. That's right, buddy. I tell you what, I can sit on a Sunday night till 10, 11 o'clock. I said, brother, preach, don't quit now. Preach, preach, preach. I said, I love preaching, just preach. The devil out of me. I need the devil preached. I still do, much of the time. I thought, God, I want to do something for you. I'll become a missionary. I said, God, I'm going to sell out my life and become a missionary. I'll go to Africa. I'll go to Tahiti. I'll go to Italy. I said, God, I'll go anywhere. And I was praying, seeking the will of God for my little young life. I go to that same church. We'll be done here in about an hour. I go to that same church, and here comes one of these brothers come to the church. And you know what he had? He had a nice car. I went over to look at his car. I thought, man, what'd you do to your car? I said, what is that on the side of your car? What's that sticker on there? He had a big Bible verse stuck permanently on the side of his car. I said, no way, brother. What'd you do? I said, you can't even get that off. It's permanently stuck there. He said, well, I'm trying to tell people about Jesus. I said, oh, to him that knoweth do good and doeth it not, to him is sin. See, I had a problem. I had a big problem in my life. You know what my problem was? I had a nice car. I was young, still a little bit, you know, worldly. Hey, man, I'm not quite out of the old life. Yeah. I had a nice car. Yeah. I didn't want to permanently stick a sticker on my, I'll date myself, brown metallic Firebird Trans Am. It was a beautiful car. I'll tell you what, if you've ever seen Smokey and the Bandit, that was my idol, amen. Burt Reynolds and Sally Field, man, they had that little black Trans Am. I'll tell you what, I love that. I just love watching that guy. Man, he looks so cool going. I'll tell you what, in my little vain mind clear back then, I thought to myself, man, at least I look good going to church. Man, that thing had the scoop on the back end of it. How many of you remember that little, that scoop they had on the hood? Had 403 engine in it, big old Pontiac engine. That thing would fly. Hey, man, it had a big old bird on the hood. How many of you remember the 1979 Firebird Trans? A lot of oldies. Man, a whole house full of oldies. Hey, man, I'll tell you what. That car looked good, brother. That looked good. Yeah. I mean, if there's ever a time to take out stock and armor all, it was back then because I'd taken slick that inside down with armor all, had that thing all slicked up. Those tires, those white Uniroyal tires, they come into church like that, look like something out of NASCAR. But I'll tell you what, I didn't want to put no bumper sticker on my car. But God said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Yeah. I said, God, the last thing I want to do is sin anymore against you. I said, I've sinned enough. Put you on the cross. Lord, I don't want to do it no more. God, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better in my mind. Don't make me put a sticker on my car. Not my brown, metallic, beautiful 1979 Firebird Trans Am. Not that, God!
Put it all over.
And the Lord said, that's exactly what I want you to do. I said, God, not my car. It's a nice car. It looks so good just the way it is. I thought, God, I need help, Lord. I started praying and fasting about that thing. I said, I'm not going to be ashamed of you. You weren't ashamed of me on the cross of Calvary. You went all the way for me. I said, God, I'm going to go all the way for you. Now I'm not going to stop at nothing. Whatever you prick my heart against about God, I said, God, I'm going to obey. I was disobedient for 19 years. I said, for once in my life, I'm going to obey any command that comes from God. I thought, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, just make it a magnet. I thought a magnet. God, I said, God, you're brilliant. A magnet. A magnetic sign. I thought, man, that's the solution right there. Man, just make a magnet. Why couldn't I have thought of something so simple? I said, God, is there anything too hard for the Lord? No. The Lord said, there's nothing too hard for me. He said, just simply make it a magnet, Steve. Amen. I thought, yes, sir, amen. I'm going to obey God and make me a magnet, magnetic scripture sign. And I made this sign right here. How can you escape the damnation of hell? I want to tell this world about how it's a little bit radical, amen, back then, still a little bit young in Christ. And I thought, man, I'm going to make that sign right there. And I made that thing. I figured out how to do silk screening. Some brother helped me a little bit on silk screening. I put that thing on the side of my brown metallic fiber transam. It looks so nice. One brother came up and he said, hey, what's the answer to that? I said, what do you mean? He said, how about putting Acts 16:31 into? I said, what's that say? He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I said, yeah, that would go good together, wouldn't it? How can you escape the damnation of hell? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So I made that one. And then I made this other one here. I thought I was a little bit more radical, turned out, than those guys were, even as it turns out. And I put this one on the end of that. Jesus saves. Are you saved? I put that all the way down the side of my brown metallic fiber Trans Am. I thought, man, it does look nice. On, off, amen. Solution done. So problem solved, amen. Want to sell the car? Take it on, take it off. Look good, altogether lovely, I thought. This is my beloved, this is my friend, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When you're looking at the Word of God, you're looking at Jesus Christ. Ain't a whole lot different. So I made that sign. I get those signs in my car. And one brother says, hey, would you make John chapter 3, verse 7? I said, what's that say? He said, you must be born again. That's a good verse right there, man. I'll make that. Hey, another brother come up. He said, will you make Luke chapter 13, verse 5? I said, what's that say? He said, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. I said, that's a good sign, man. I think I'll make that one too. Before I know it, I'm making all these scripture signs. I started making for all these brothers. Word of mouth starts going around. I'm making more scripture signs. I'm liking it. I'm loving it. Just trying to keep busy for Jesus. Still working a full-time job. Still working a job. And then about that time, I'm going down the road, and some little monster come flying up behind me. You ever seen them kids that got their hat on sideways? Then they got these big old monster speakers in the car, and you hear them coming from 3 miles away. Ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. You can hear them coming. And then here comes some little punk in the side of his car like that. Well, this little kid comes up behind me, and I hadn't been saved all that long yet, just several years. Still a little bit of a babe in Christ, not maybe just a teenager. And I thought to myself, I said, man, buddy, you better back off my tail end. He's starting to get kind of close because I had them signs on there. He starts mocking me and make fun doing stuff like this. I'm thinking, that little monster, I tell you what, kid, you better back off me, buddy. I'm going to get in the flesh here. I'm going to mess you up and we'll step on my brakes, crash up your brains and scatter you all the road. I said, you better just back off from me, friend. I'm getting mad. And God says, no, you're a Christian now. You can't act like that. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I said, God said, you better calm down, son. You better calm down. You can't act like that. You're a Christian now. Holy Ghost speaking to my heart said, you just better back off. Man, he come flying around me. That little kid did. He went like that, and he didn't flip that one up. He flipped that bad boy right there up in my face. I about ran. Man, I'll tell you what, if I had a gun, I'd shot him right through the window, amen. I'll tell you what, I wanted to cuss him out just like he was cussing me, but there was nothing I could do. I thought to the Lord, what do you want me to do, God? What do you want me to do? And I thought to myself, I know, Lord, I'm just going to make one backwards. I'll put that on the front of my car. Be sure your sin will find you out. So the last thing that little punk would see in his rearview mirror is be sure your sin will find you out, but and I made another one, said, prepare to meet thy God. Printing it backwards. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll cut that rascal as he's leaving with the word of God. The Bible says, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. I thought, man, I'm going to cut that little rascal as he's leaving me, mocking my God. Well, I got them signs all over the car. I come from a rough background, and I thought, man, I've just got an attitude kind of little bit. Then all of a sudden somebody stole all my signs off my car, and I didn't like that one bit, so I made that. Thou shalt not steal. And I put that on my car. I said, next time they look at my car, at least they'll get under conviction. Thou shalt not steal. You dirty, rotten dog. Treat me like that. Shame on you. And I pulled up behind one of our signs. I saw it on one of the brothers at nighttime going to church. Every Sunday night, go to church. Like clockwork, brother. Went to church. I pulled up behind one of our Sign, I couldn't hardly read it. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord said, just make them reflective, just like that. Spoke to my heart. Showed me how to do it. These light up at night like a police car. Headlights hit them, man, you can see them from 3 miles away. Man, they light up. I'll tell you what, that's why your foot goes when you see a police officer in the median over there. You can see that gold on the side of his car. Same stuff. Yeah. I thought, I'll make them reflective. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I don't want my life to be a waste. Never in my wildest dreams, brethren, would I've ever thought this ministry would have grown to where it's at now. We can't make them quick enough. Say, brother, you're one of those missionaries, you're just afraid to work. No, no, friend, that's not it at all in my case. I don't know about other brothers, but I'll tell you what, in my case, I worked for 29 years. I was a mechanical engineer for 29 years, printing them scripture signs for over 20 of those years until I just couldn't do it anymore. And a year ago, January, I think I was the only guy in America rejoicing because I got laid off. I thought, glory to God, he took the job. I got laid off. I'm thinking, glory to God, my wife and I were up till 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning making all these scripture signs, all these verses, putting them out all over the world. 9 foreign languages. We cannot make them quicker. Denmark wants them right now. Germany wants them right now. We got them in Spanish. Just sent 40 of them down to Puerto Rico. Russia wants them. I got a missionary right now, Paul Gray. He wants them in Russian and Romanian. Took them 700. Took 700 of these in November of last year. 700 of these Tagalog signs to the Philippines. Say, how'd they get over there? One of our churches called me and my wife up and said, we're going to send you to the Philippines. And they said, we're going to pay every dime of it. They said, you print up 700 of those scripture signs and you mail them over there before you go. When you get over there, they'll be over there. And man, we distributed them scripture signs all over the Philippines, 7 different missionaries, north, south, east, and west. French, South African, Romanian. We're just getting going. So Brother Schlechty, you sure you're not afraid to work? No, I told you that. I'm not afraid to work. I can, brethren, and I'm not bragging. My wife and I, we can make 6 figures easy like that if I want to go back to work. That's not God's plan for my life. It's not God's plan for my life. When that job came to an end, there's no 401k, there's no pension, there's no inheritance from any father, mother, anybody, aunt and uncle. When that job came to an end, that paycheck went choom in January of last year, and we were done with the paycheck. My bills didn't change from January last year to February of last year. And let me tell you this. We haven't missed a meal. We haven't missed a tank of gas. God's been faithful. He's been good. If God can provide for you with a job, brethren, I'll tell you what, He can provide for you without a job. If you're in the will of God doing what He wants you to do, He can provide out of nowhere. I mean, when I had the job, I never could have gone to the Philippines. We put all the money into the ministry. There's no way, humanly speaking, we ever could have gone to the Philippines. I lose the job in January. In November, bless your heart, we're going to the Philippines. All expenses paid. Go figure. That's the Lord. That's God. Man, we've got brethren calling us. I know one brother, he's got him on his choo-choo train. He's a conductor for 40 years. He puts them on his train. I know another brother, he's got him on his wheelchair. I know another brother, he puts them on his garbage can. I know another brother, he puts them on his lawnmower. I know another brother, he puts them on his airplane. How you say, what good do they do on an airplane? I don't know. Taxiing down the runway, I guess. I don't know. Binoculars, I guess. I don't know. Hey, man, the word of God won't return void. It's what the Bible says. Put it out, put it out. It's the sower soweth the seed. It didn't say where. Here, there, or in the air. Say, do you love what you do? Brethren, I love it. We've got several bookstores we've been supplying for years. See, Brother Schlechty, if we take you on for support, are you going to do this till Jesus comes? You're going to be like some of these other guys, just jump out of the ministry after things get tough. You're going to quit. Listen, friend, I'm not quitting. 24 years into this thing, I'm not backing off. I'm just going to press forward and do a little bit more and more and more for Jesus Christ and keep making more and more and more of them until the Lord comes and takes me out. You're not going to find me in a month or two pastoring a church somewhere. You're not going to find me doing that. Say, why? Because I can't do that.
I don't have enough grace that guy's got right there. I don't have the kind of grace Brother Keith's got. It's not in me. I know I don't got it. God's not going to call me and put me into the pastorate somewhere in America somewhere. You're not going to find me quitting what I'm doing. Say, why? Because I'll tell you what. Here's why. I'll give you a good example, a little child's example. Here's the church, amen. Here's the steeple. Open the door Sunday morning and see all the people. Okay. Here's the church. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the door. It's Wednesday night prayer service. Nobody shows up. I can't take that. A pastor's got to take that. I can't take that. If that was me and I was a pastor, let me tell you what I'd do. Wednesday night, come around. Half you stay home. I'd be over there. Where you at, you devil? Get to church. Amen. That's how I'd handle it. I wouldn't make it as a pastor. I can't do it. I know it. I cannot pastor a church. God knows I don't have that kind of grace that guy's got right there. I can't take it. I wouldn't ask for no excuse. All I know is nobody's sitting out there for me to teach. Monsters. Say, Brother Schlechty, are you ever, maybe you'll get into a children's ministry somewhere. No, no, no. When I got saved, those brethren down there at that church, they wanted me to go to a prison. I got into a maximum security prison in the state of Kentucky for 15 years. While this thing was building and growing, it wasn't full time yet. It wasn't even just making enough, making plenty, putting out plenty, but it was growing. I had time to go to prison stuff every once a month. I went to Kentucky State Penitentiary for 15 years. Maximum security, death row inmates. They'd march those death row boys in, all dressed in red. They would unshackle them boys, 11 or 12 of those boys. They'd put us in that chapel with them. Those guards would leave. They'd take them boys and have no chains anywhere on their feet or on their hands. Put them boys down there with a Bible, and those guards would leave and lock the door. There we sat with 15 death row inmates. I thought to myself, hey, I like this. It didn't bother me one bit. I liked it. Let me tell you something. You're not going to find me in a child's ministry. I tried it when I first got saved. I told you I did everything in the church. They asked me to teach the children Sunday school. I said, amen, mark me down and I'll do it. I told you I did everything I did. I found out Johnny comes in there and Susie comes in there and Elizabeth comes in there and little Joanna and little Bobby and little Ralphie and then little Tad over here. And then about the time I plan a nice big Sunday school lesson for these little kids, spend all week long making coloring things and different things. And I look at them little kids sitting there and one does this to Susie and Susie starts screaming and says, eh, and she grabs little Elizabeth's hair. Before I know it, I've got chaos going on there. I tell them, stop that, stop that, stop that. And then little Ralphie gets up and runs out the door. And I want to beat the tar out of the little brat because he won't sit still. I'm trying to teach them. I'd take death row any day over those little monsters. Man, they're much more nice. They're polite. They're kind. They hug me. They thank me for coming. They call me, man, even some of them guys call me Reverend. I don't even accept that term. Amen. Jesus is Reverend. Only one Reverend. That's the Lord. Reverend Holy is His name. So you're not going to find me teaching Sunday school someday. I can't do it. How many Sunday school teachers we got in here? There's a special crown in heaven for each and every one of you. Let me tell you that. I can't prove it from the Bible, but I believe that. That takes grace. Amen. You're not going to find me doing that. You know what you're going to find me doing? This thing right here. We need a print shop right now. Someday God's going to give us a big old print shop. I got a vision. Big old. We're out of our garage. Just little as much when God is in it. We just can't. Just in our little garage. Full time. I woke up every morning last week, got out there, the birds were singing. Man, I love what God's called me to do. I love it. I'm happy. No more computer, no more. I mean, I was designing jet engines for supersonic jets for GE and Pratt & Whitney, and I was designing surgical staple guns on that computer, skin staplers, lung staplers, intestinal staplers, all that kind of thing. I'll tell you what, I'm so glad that's behind me. Drive you crazy, that kind of pressure and stress. You can have it. Mm-mm. So you miss the money? I don't miss it one bit. I haven't missed a meal. I told you that. What money? I've never missed no money. God's taking care of us. I'm content with what I got. I'm just content with having a meal. Got me some threads. I got me a little van out there. What more do I need to be happy? I'm content and happy in Jesus. Come what may down the road. Come whatever may. Come whatever takes place. If the economy goes downhill, God's uphill. God's on the mountain. God's on top. God will take care of me. God's going to give me gas. God's going to give me food. God will take care of me. God's going to provide for my needs. God will take care of us. Amen. He's a good father. He's a good father. Some of these brethren gripe and complain and murmur and gripe about the economy. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I'll tell you what. How about this? Just trust your father. I remember I take them little kids, I put them in the back seat of that car. You know, they had their complete trust and faith in me when they're just little tykes like that. They weren't worried about what brother daddy was going to wreck or he's going to get in a cause a whole family to go down. I mean, they were just trusted God, trusted daddy. Why can't we trust God as his children? Man, he's not going to mess us up. I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to take us out. He's going to take us out of here. I'm leaving. You want to stay? Stay. I'm leaving. You want to stay here? Help yourself. I'm getting out of this mess. Jesus is going to take me out. I read it right there in that book. I read it right there. I got the promise. It wasn't in that one. Wasn't in that never intended version. The American Standard, the only thing I've ever seen that's American Standard is a toilet. Amen? And you know what's in a toilet. Amen? The same thing that's in that. Preacher, you come ahead. You pray for us. I thank God for you.
Amen. You enjoy that? Say amen. 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 Sister Davis, you want to come around? And many musicians come around with a song. Amen. Lord knows your heart. Amen. I appreciate the message. And amen. I pray God would touch our heart about being a witness for the Lord and serving him. You know, it's a blessing to hear Brother Steve talk about how that, without being there at a church or anything, and God just dealing with his heart and saving him, and then he started doing what was right. He had a desire to read the Bible, had a desire to go to church. I believe God puts that in you when you get saved.